has reached us that you have on the date 16th of Muharram 1428, that you have said that there's no problem in establishing jama'at upon the sunnah, and also marakis, centers upon the centers in countries where the importance to the sunnah is not given. لَيْسَ إِلَهَا اِهْتِمَا بِالسُنَّةِ. So do you mean by that it is not allowed to make ta'awun with? And then the rest of the question is not clear. It could be because the typing or something. Now, so the Shaykh anyway recognizes the question. Now, Mishnah.
أولا من عرفني وتعود مجالسي واستكثر منها ولازمني في دروسي يعلم علم اليقين أني أنكر التعاون مع الجماعات الحزبية والتي تتسمى بمثل جماعة الحديث أو جماعة القرآن والسنة، وليس لها من ذلكم إلا الأسماء، وقد كتبت إلى الأخ بشير أحمد، ولعله هو الذي كرر السؤال أو غيره بهذا المعنى، وقلت له فيما قلت: فإني لا أعد جماعة أهل الحديث في برمنغهام من بريطانيا جماعة سنة، وأقول قد تأكد لدي أن تلك الجماعة جماعة سياسية مخلطة ليس لها من الحديث إلا الاسم فقط، فهي سلم للقطبية وللإخوان المسلمين ولغيرهم من الجماعات السياسية، فمثل هذه الجماعة أنا لا أجيز التعاون معها أبدا. فإذا تقرر هذا وعرفه المسلمون والمسلمات من المستمعين، فإني أقول: أولا، من كان في دولة مسلمة تهتم بنشر الإسلام على وفق الكتاب والسنة وعلى فهم السلف الصالح، فإنه لا يجوز إنشاء جماعة أو مركز في تلك الدولة المسلمة التي تهتم بالإسلام والسنة، بل يجب على العاملين لنشر الإسلام والسنة أن يعملوا تحت مظلة الجهة المسؤولة أو الوزارة المسؤولة عن الدعوة والإرشاد. ثانيا، من كان في دولة غير مسلمة مثل دول أوروبا وأمريكا وبعض دول أفريقيا والهند، أو في دولة مسلمة لا تهتم بالسنة ولا تنشرها، فهؤلاء المسلمون لهم أن ينشئوا مراكز تعمل على نشر الإسلام والسنة، مثل مركز علي بن أبي طالب لدراسة القرآن والسنة، ومثل مركز العباس لدراسة الحديث. ومثل مركز عمر بن الخطاب لدراسة الفقه والعقيدة وهكذا. ولو سموا تلك الأسماء بجماعات فلا بأس، ولكن أولا يجب أن يعرضوا مناهجهم على علماء موثوقين معروفين بالرسوخ في العلم والفقه في الدين، حتى يوجهوهم التوجيه الصحيح. وثانيا أن يحصلوا على إذن من الجهات الأمنية والمسؤولة في تلك الدول. وثالثا أقول لا تقبلوا أي جماعة ولا تنضموا إليها حتى يزكيها العلماء الذين هم على التوحيد والسنة، والذين خبروا مناهج تلك الجماعات أو المراكز. ولا يجوز أن تفهموا أني أجيز جماعات أو مراكز إسلامية على الإطلاق، بل هذا هو القيد، فافهموا هذا، فافهموه جيدا، وأفهموه من لم يسمعه مني الآن. والله الموفق والهادي إلى سبيل الرشاد.
So the Shaykh Abdullah, in answering this, he said, those who know me and those who have benefited from me and the lessons that I give, and they have stayed with me for a long period of time, then they will have known, and they will know surely that with certainty that I clearly refute and make inkar and refute cooperating with the jama'at or the groups, jama'at, the likes of the jama'at al-hadith and the jama'at Qur'an wa sunnah. So you'll not find them except that they have name. They will not be upon this except by name. They will not be upon this, these names, except by the name. And not be upon it truthfully or properly. And I have written to one of the brothers who's asked me this question previously, and maybe it's the same person who's asking now, and he is Bashir Ahmed, and I have told him this with this meaning. And I wrote to him that I do not see, or I do not hold, that the Jama'at al-Hadith in Birmingham and the Jama'at al-Hadith in Birmingham, that I do not see them that they are a Jama'ah upon the Sunnah. Rather, I see them that they are a Jama'ah upon politics, and they seem to have mixed issues, and they do not ليس لها للحديث إلا الاسم. يعني they do not have hadith except that which is the name. They do not have except the name with regards to the hadith. And rather, it is a sulam, or it is like a ladder for the people of the Qutubiyya and other than them from the misguided groups. It is a ladder for them, which they use. So I do not allow that one cooperates with it at all. And if this is understood, then you should know that I say, number one, whoever is in a Muslim country, then I which in itself, this Muslim country, gives importance to spreading Islam upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ, in the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih, of the pious predecessors, then it is not allowed for them who are living in this country with these characteristics, it's not allowed for them that they establish marakis, they establish yani, it's not allowed for them that they establish jama'at or marakis in these countries which give importance to Islam and the Sunnah. Rather, what they should do is work and cooperate under the umbrella of the particular areas which are concerned with da'wah and irshad, which are concerned with propagating Islamic knowledge. And secondly, I say that whoever is in other than a Muslim country, such as he resides in Europe or in America or Africa or India, as an example, countries which are not Muslim countries, which do not give importance to the Sunnah, nor do they propagate it and spread it, then I advise that the Muslims in these countries, that they are allowed to establish centers which is established upon propagating Islam, which are established upon propagating Islam and the Sunnah. Such that, for example, they have marakis called under various names, such as Markaz Ali ibn Abi Talib, for studying Quran and Sunnah. Or another markaz could be Ibn Abbas, for the study of Hadith. Or another markaz could be Markaz Umar ibn Khattab for studying Fiqh and Aqeedah and the likes. And even if they call themselves Jama'at, such and such. However, I see that as labas. However, he said, you must pay attention to number one. It is obligatory that they bring forward their manhaj to the ulama. Those ulama, those scholars who are known for their knowledge and understanding, such that they can advise them with correct advice as to their methodology. And number two, that they should get permission from the country in order to establish these centers or this jama'ah. And number three, he says, لا تقبل أي جماعة ولا تنضم إليها حتى يزكيها العلماء. لا تقبل. So the third one is that you should not accept any jama'ah unless that jama'ah has been given tazkiyah, has been recommended by the scholars of Tawheed and Sunnah, and that they have experience with their methodology and the methodology of these jama'at and these marakis. So it should not be understood that I in general absolutely just allow these marakis and jama'at to sprout up al-itlaq without any conditions, but rather I have these particular quyud or these conditions and limits. So understand this properly, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides to the straight path.